itchy face, and I'm gonna itch my face on Hallie's laptop. And now I'm gonna fight and jump on the desk.
What a great theme song. We should replace the Vivaldi song with that.
The new theme song.
Yeah, welcome to the Itchy Cat Podcast. We narrate what Nanette is itching her face against.
And most of the time, it's Hallie's laptop.
Imagine that. That's what inspired the theme song. But until we can get the rights to that, we're all tied up in legal litigation right now with Zuckerberg with and the Nanette's Winklevoss. Lawyers. We're going to go on with our original cults of our lives.
Yep.
I'm Hallie George.
And I'm Stassi Serretta.
Yeah, nice to see you.
You too. It's been so long.
Yeah.
It was only 6.5 hours in the car yesterday.
We carpooled back up to New York from our parents' homes for Thanksgiving, and it was a long ride.
And at least it was spacious.
In my tiny, tiny little car. So Stassi picked our cult today.
She came
to me and said, we have to do this one.
It's crazy.
Tell us a little bit about the Holy Rollers.
Okay, so the Brides of Christ, or the Bride of Christ.
It's Bride of Christ.
Is it singular?
Singular.
Okay.
They're all one bride.
Gross.
In a reverse Mormon.
So this is an American cult.
It's an old-fashioned cult, too.
An OC, original cult. So, in 1903...
Turn of the century.
1903. Oregon.
Everyone talked like this.
Everyone's like, what's the news, Johnny?
And they wore pinstripe suits. No, that was more 30.
We don't really know our history. Shh. They wore fascinators and hat pins. Trousers.
I think Edgar Allan Poe is still alive.
No. Was he? I don't know.
This is not the point.
Yeah, but now I have to... Poe's looking at us as I look it up.
Stassi has a bag that has Poe's face all over it.
He died in 1849.
How am I supposed to know that?
I don't know. How am I supposed to know how people talked in 1903?
They didn't record anything.
They just had their cults and their lemonade.
In Oregon.
In Oregon. In Corvallis, Oregon.
Oh, you can say that? I could not say that.
I think it's Corvallis. I don't know. I haven't heard anyone say it, but that's how it looks like.
You know who is in Corvallis?
Corvallis.
Edmund Crefield.
Crefield?
Crefield.
Why are you putting weird emphasis on it? Edmund Crefield. Okay, so, 1903, Oregon, Corvallis, Oregon. Edmund Crefield is a 33-year-old German guy. He formerly worked for the Salvation Army to, like, recruit people to the church.
Because if you don't know, the Salvation Army was and is a Christian organization.
It's not a good one.
It's very bad. It's very homophobic. But no one cared about that back then.
Yeah.
You could get arrested for sodomy back then. We were talking about that in the car with someone the other
day.
Yeah,
that's right.
She's like, what's sodomy? We're like, it's anal sex. And she's like, ah!
It sounds like so, like, it came up, like, out of nowhere when you put it like that.
Yeah.
No, we were listening to another podcast.
And they were talking about sodomy.
Someone got arrested or in jail for something.
Yeah, okay. You could get arrested. It was mostly gay men who got arrested for that, though, because you couldn't prove that straight people were having anal sex with each other.
So, he starts recruiting people into his church, where they do lots of praying and wailing and rolling on the floor to feel that Holy Spirit, and that is how they became known as the Holy Rollers.
He broke off from the Salvation Army to form this group.
Yes.
And they would hang around Corvallis, Oregon. The townspeople named them the Holy Rollers because they would roll on the ground and they would cry and they would scream and beg God for forgiveness. Crefield preached for hours on end.
Oh my God.
And
can you imagine?
That is a thing, another warning sign for cult leaders when they just physically will not shut up.
Hallie.
Yep. Stop outing me as a cult leader here. No, because same thing with Jim Jones, remember? Like, isn't that great? You just hear someone screaming about the CIA in the middle of the night through a megaphone.
So Holy Rollers is not like a new term, like it was already a term used to describe Pentecostal Christians. It's just because when they were praying, they would roll on the floor. I don't know, is it like a act of...
It's sort of people become so overcome with the spirit. It's they like lose themselves on the floor. When I was at speech and debate camp when I was 16, and yes,
please tell me there were no speech and debate rollers.
I was a very popular child. I know. My roommate, she and I got into this habit where every night before lights out, we would watch part of this documentary called Jesus Camp.
I've seen that. That's so good.
And it was these evangelical Christians who, it wasn't fun Bible camp like I went to where there were themes.
And Jell-O.
And Jell-O and little toys they gave you at the end of every day for, like, not biting others.
Just as Christ would have wanted.
Just as Christ would have wanted. But basically, this woman would stand and sort of yell like Creffield did, and these kids, little kids, would be crying. Rocking back and forth. And that's sort of what Holy Rollers is used to describe today.
It's like a new level of spiritual. That's what they're experiencing.
Yeah. So anyway, Creffield was barred from holding his services within city limits because these meetings eventually began to run into the early morning hours.
Yes, and people were like, these people need to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, and it was a city, so everyone's in pretty tight quarters, and they're like, I'm going to kill you. The Bride of Christ Church was barred from holding their services within the city limits. That did not deter them.
No, not at all. Creffield starts spouting off about how he is Jesus. He's like the second coming of Jesus, I believe.
Which, you know, sounds legit.
As, you know, every cult follower is actually the second coming of Jesus.
Cult
there
leader.
There have been a few. Yeah. What did
you
I say?
You said cult follower.
No, cult leader. They're actually Jesus.
So he starts spouting this, and that summer, the summer of 1903... he and his followers decided to camp out on Kiger Island in the Willamette River.
I want to, like, talk about who his followers were.
Yes, talk about that. So they're on this island, camping out, screaming, rolling around. Tell us about those rollers.
And these rollers were, like, pretty much middle class, mostly respected families, and a lot of them were women.
Yep.
Girls of many ages.
And
women
the way you said
ages.
Girls, you know, they weren't in their golden years.
Yeah, they were a little underage.
Just a touch.
Just a touch, which is gross. So, oh, well, it's not gross yet, but...
It's not a crime yet.
nothing illegal.
It's not like sodomy.
Yeah, he just, for some reason, his teachings really resonated with middle-class white women.
Do you want to talk about what his teachings were?
He said one of his followers was going to be, like, I guess the Bride of Christ, because he's looking for his bride and he's Christ, and that she's going to give birth to his child, which will be like Jesus 2.0 or something. Mm-hmm. 2.0.
Jesus 2.0.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear that.
So
they're all kind of in competition. It's sort of like a sick version of The Bachelor.
Oh my god, it totally is, except for here's the thing.
Not that the regular Bachelor isn't sick.
here's the problem. It slowly but surely just devolves into just fucking orgies. Like him just fucking every woman.
Again.
And girl.
Pretty common, yeah.
And like that was, it was like a spiritual thing and it was so weird and they were really into it for some reason.
And people thought they were nuts, obviously. I have a quote here that said, people soon began to ask if Creffield could really live in the same locked house with a number of young girls and do nothing in the world but be religious. So people knew this was going on.
Yeah.
And
they were also known as a nudist cult, because I think they would...
They didn't wear a lot of clothes.
Yeah.
As the word nudist would imply.
Well, I know.
It makes it... saves time if you're having an orgy every couple of hours. You don't want to have to keep getting undressed
I mean,
and putting
I've
off your petticoats.
I mean, I've always said that. That's been my philosophy from, like, day one.
Day one? Ew. So in January of 1904, 20 vigilantes called the White Caps, I don't know what that means, sounds kind of racist, they tarred and feathered Creffield, which is one of my favorite punishments that I wish still existed.
In 1904?
Yes.
Yes.
They told him to leave Corvallis and never come back, and the next day he married one of his followers.
One of his followers, yes.
Not just one of his followers, one of his followers' daughters.
Ew.
A woman named Sarah Hurt and her three children, Maud, Frank, and May.
He married Maud, right?
He married Maud.
Yeah.
Sarah was the one who lived with him on the island in the summers, and then they moved to her house.
Do we know how old Maud was?
I don't. He started to be accused of having an adulterous relation in Portland with one of Maud's aunts. Adultery was a criminal offense. Basically, having sex of any kind was a criminal offense.
Like, oral sex used to be illegal.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
No matter what gender you were or what kind of oral sex you were
having,
it was... punishable by jail.
This is why everyone is so uncomfortable talking about sex now.
Could you imagine going to jail for giving someone a blowjob?
What are you in for?
Oh, man. That would really suck.
Oh, man.
Literally and figuratively.
Boo.
I don't stand by that joke. That was rough.
I'm keeping it in, though. People have to hear that you said that. Maybe you'll learn your lesson.
You'll think next time before you speak.
So I guess this is sort of going into the notable craziness here.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. This cult kind of has several different things that could be notable. It's just kind of crazy from, like, the get-go. But not on, like, North Korea levels. Yeah. But, like...
Well, nothing's at North Korea levels. That's why we always compare things to North Korea.
True. Yeah, so, I don't know. It's just kind of a weird fucking church.
So he was accused of adultery and went on the run. There was a warrant put out for his arrest, and a statewide manhunt went on for months.
Yes, so that is true.
Well, this was happening.
Was it months?
It was months. That's what I have.
Okay, yes. I think I might have read 1 month, but that also might be wrong, because I think I read months.
So this was February 1904, a month after he married this girl.
Oh my god.
And while he was on the run, his followers started to roll around on the floor or lie flat on the floor and pray. People were fasting. They wouldn't get up. They were starving to death. I don't know who intervened, but it says that most were committed to the Oregon State Insane Asylum.
Yes, families were like, hey, our daughters and wives and sisters are like, have flocked to this rando guy who just fucks them all day and has turned them into nudists, and we need to, like, save our family.
So a lot of people got sent
actually,
there.
Actually, no. Hold on. Just kind of to point out, I don't think the families made it, like, public that, or, like, they didn't put out any of the details.
Well, that was very shameful for them.
Exactly. That's why...
Daughters running around having all sorts of illegal sex.
Probably giving illegal blowjobs.
Legal sodomy. Illegal... nudism, that was probably illegal, right? Indecent exposure. It still is illegal. Well,
they would basically wear, like, a bathrobe.
Ew, that's so Playboy bunnies.
Isn't that gross?
Ugh.
But you know it wasn't as cute as, like, a Playboy bunny.
It wasn't Elle Woods, like, pink silk.
You know it was shitty. Probably itched.
Yeah. So, Sarah Hurt, 1 month
like
after...
my cat's face. Kitten. What's she doing?
She's being good. She's not rubbing her face against my computer right now.
She's been sleeping all day in the same spot on my bed.
Maybe she's ill.
God damn it. Okay.
So anyway, they're all being sent to the insane asylum, or the younger people were sent to the Boys and Girls Aid Society in Portland, which I guess was sort of like foster care or something.
Yeah, I think so.
And in July of 1904, Sarah Hurt had been committed 1 month before because she was obviously his most ardent supporter. She was just going till the end, rolling around.
Yeah.
She was in it to win it with this being the new Mary
she
thing.
She was ready to be a bride of Christ.
Yes. So she was in an insane asylum, and then Edmund Creffield was discovered nude and starving underneath her house.
Like under her porch, right?
Yeah, like a raccoon.
Like a fucking raccoon! What a nightmare. And he had been there, like, the whole time.
Creffield said that he was innocent, but was found guilty.
Of what? What was his charge?
Adultery.
Mm.
Not any of his other stuff. Not raping children. It was the adultery that did him in.
Oh, of course not.
I like to call it the Al Capone rule.
Yeah, right.
I mentioned this in a previous podcast where someone did something, like, a plethora of shitty, horrendous, evil things, but then they get arrested for, like, tax evasion or adultery or unpaid parking tickets. It's like, you should have been careful. So he was guilty, sentenced to serve 17 months in the Oregon State Penitentiary. When he was released, he went back to claiming that he was Jesus risen from the dead.
Yeah, he was saying how his spell in jail was the metaphor of Jesus's death, and now this is his risen.
Yeah.
Time is now. Oh, I can't speak English.
I know what you're trying to say.
Yeah, and now that he was out of jail, he is Jesus.
Which is not the same thing as dying and coming back to life. It's going into a building and then walking out of a building.
It's going into a building because you did some illegal shit. Well, yeah. I mean, adultery. But you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. It was illegal back then.
You're picking up what I'm putting down.
I hear you loud and clear on this frequency, bro.
Thanks, bro.
He also said he was responsible at this time, because it was 1906 at this point. He was responsible for the San Francisco earthquake.
Yes, he was like, he had said something that was like, San Francisco's gonna get destroyed, or something like that, something to that effect, and then the earthquake happened a little time later, and his followers were like, holy shit,
I have one of his followers here, Cora Hartley, says...
Oh, Cora.
Cora. That's such a 1900s name, isn't it? You never hear of anyone named Cora anymore. I think it was on Downton Abbey.
I was going to say, isn't that the mom from Downton Abbey?
The American Abbey? Mom, yeah.
I love her.
So this Cora, not Downton Abbey Cora, but it might be fun to imagine her saying this. Creffield is Jesus Christ. He condemned the city of San Francisco and brought the earthquake. He has condemned the city of Corvallis, and an earthquake will destroy this place.
Yeah, he, because Corvallis was kicking them out, or had already kicked them out, and he was like, fuck y'all.
Well, they moved to Kyger Island, but then they kept trying to go back onto the mainland during the winter months.
You'd think they'd just give up and, like, choose a different
He was
town.
Aforementioned tarred and feathered. They tried to burn down the house they were in. They were not wanted. But someone can't take a hint.
No.
Cora and the rest of his people all obeyed his order, evacuated the West Coast.
I would like to talk about some assassination attempts. Oh, that's you what... were signing that at me and I wasn't looking at you because I was looking at my laptop. Yes, that's exactly what I would like to talk about. So, what's Hartley's name? Lewis Hartley. Or Louis, I guess. I don't know.
It's Lewis. I think.
Lewis Hartley, his wife and daughter are followers of...
His wife is Cora, the woman we were just talking about.
Yes, his daughter wife is Sophie. The lady from Downton Abbey. So his wife and daughter are followers of Jesus 2.0. And so Creffield and his followers and his little brides of Christ are getting ready to, I think, depart on a ferry.
They were going to Newport, Oregon, which I guess was more inland and thus safer from whatever perceived earthquakes.
But then why would you take a ferry to inland?
I don't know, but it just says Newport, Oregon.
Alrighty, whatever. So he sees them getting ready to depart on the ferry with Creffield. So he draws a revolver out and then... points it at Creffield and shoots, and nothing happens because he didn't have the right fucking bullets.
Yeah, they were in the wrong, they were wrong for the gun that they were in, so they didn't come out.
He shot 5 times and nothing happened. So,
that's the most embarrassing thing I've ever heard.
So impotent.
Yeah, you're trying to be, yeah, literally, what is the symbolism there?
Shooting blanks. So that.
That happened.
That happened. So Creffield
others also
has
wanted
survived
him dead.
His first assassination attempt.
Just like the Pope.
Just like Jesus.
He was assassinated just that one time.
Yeah, but we don't know what else happened.
I do, though. There's this whole book about it. You didn't hear?
You don't remember that chapter where one of those guys, like, tries to shoot Jesus 5 times, but the bullets are wrong for the gun? So
he's
Jesus
like, fucking
is like,
Peter.
Sayonara, bitch.
And then he puts on his sunglasses and rides away on his motorcycle.
On his donkey.
That I would like.
That's my Bible aesthetic.
So with Maud, his child bride, who he's still married to. I don't know if I should call her child bride. I don't know how old she is at this point. But
She's 45.
45-year-old Maud. They flee to Seattle, Washington.
Yes. And so they go to Washington, and everyone else goes...
to Newport.
To Newport. Okay.
And a man named George Mitchell. Not George Michael.
George Mitchell.
Although you can imagine him as George Michael.
We have the mom from Downton Abbey and George Michael from Arrested Development.
I was thinking real George Michael, though. So you gotta have faith.
No.
Faith.
I'm thinking Michael Cera.
That's hilarious. Let's do yours.
That's way better. Creffield is in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1906, he's walking down the street with his 45-year-old child bride, Maud, and a gentleman named Georges Michel, or George
who is
Michael.
The brother.
No, George Mitchell. God damn it.
Michael Cera was Esther's brother. Esther was one of his followers. He found him, tracked him down, and on a street in front of witnesses, killed him.
Yep. Shot him in the head.
Which seems to be the only way you can ever really assassinate people.
By shooting them?
Yep.
In the head?
Mm-hmm.
So, he was doing it to sort of save his, it was like an honor killing to save his sisters.
Yeah,
I guess.
Which honor killings are bullshit, but you kind of are on his side in this one.
Yes. I mean, you realize that Creffield is like a fucking skis and...
Absolutely, but honor...
Taking, no, honor killings are stupid and horrible and should not exist.
Yeah, just, I'm just gonna...
I understand what he's thinking.
I'm explaining because our followers don't know, is that honor killings are more about blaming the girl for ever having sex.
Yes, victim blaming.
Yes,
for,
but...
For anything, for getting... Mm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For all these blowjobs. This is one of our dirty episodes. I'm sorry if our parents ever hear this.
My parents will.
I know. Hi, Carol and Mark.
Mitchell, aka Michael Cera. He says, I have only done my duty, he says to the police officers. I came here to kill that man as he ruined my two sisters, and I've completed my work. So, Seattle gets ready for a trial.
O.V. Hurt, who is Creffield's father-in-law because of Sarah Hurt and Maude Hurt, and I guess he was Maude's father.
Yeah.
He hires one of the best law firms in Seattle to defend George.
Who? Sure. Yes. Yeah, because he was like, fuck this guy. No, not George. Yeah. Creffield. Dead guy.
So there are witnesses who I assume were from the Bride of Christ. Said they told George that Creffield announced the new Mary was Esther, who was George's 16-year-old sister.
What? What happened to Maude?
George was found not guilty by reasons of insanity, and he was released. 2 days later, Esther shot and killed him.
Yep.
Using the gun that Maude had bought using their witness fees.
Which is basically the money they got paid for going to trial.
This is why they don't pay witnesses anymore.
Yeah, that's so fucking
stupid. I cannot believe that was illegal. Who came up with that? Fucking Alexander Hamilton.
So, that's crazy.
So, O.V. Hurt was devastated, obviously. He still loved his daughter because he's a good dad. And he hired the same lawyers who defended George to defend Maude for buying this gun. Before the case went to trial, though, I guess we're into the where are they now, Maude committed suicide. Esther was found not guilty by insanity and was put in a mental hospital. She was released.
You know it was great back then.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure she had a good time there.
Everyone's seen Nellie Bly's, like, expose and what it was like in the 20s, and that was better than it was then. Esther was released from the asylum in 1909, and she committed suicide in 1914.
Yeah. So that was the mighty end of the
She was chosen as his Mary, and so she shot George, her brother, because he denied her this
honor.
This honor by killing Creffield. Although, if you knew anything about biblical stories, you don't need a man to get pregnant in the Bible.
Yeah, and also they're really into like virginity in the Bible.
Yeah.
And what's his face wasn't.
And if Creffield was gone, she had plausible deniability.
Ah, shit.
So it was just a lot of, it was taking advantage of women and just the great shame people felt because of sex and stuff back then.
And these women were like fanatical religious people.
There's them like everywhere. Someone... Even look at the Westboro Baptist Church now, you see the same kind of women.
Yeah.
So that is the story of the original Holy Rollers.
Do we know what happened to, like, his other female followers at the end?
They just sort of faded away. A lot of them still remained in mental hospitals, like yeah. Sarah Hurt.
That's kind of
until they died, and they...
That's all the information I found.
Again, a lot of this isn't very well documented because it was over 100 years ago.
And it was, like, such a cause of, like, shame and...
Well, because cults themselves were bad, but then you added in all this sex... And all this, like...
Nudity. People have
and
body
were,
parts.
And there were women
display.
Shooting other people.
There were orgies.
It was just... It was a shit show from start to bottom. And it adds to that whole creepy gothic Pacific Northwest kind of thing.
I didn't realize the Pacific Northwest had a creepy gothic feel to it.
Oh, it definitely does. It's,
well, I'm
it's
learned,
because
I've
of Twin Peaks.
Something today. So, yeah, that was a little lighter than yeah. something we've done in the past.
But after our one where we talked about an entire country, it was good to sort of... Narrow
kinda,
it down.
Yeah, just to kind of back off a bit.
Breaks. like, comment, subscribe. Email us at cultsofourlives@gmail.com. Somebody keeps commenting random links to their own podcasts on our podcast. Knock that the fuck off. You get your downloads the American way. You work for them.
Wait, now I kind of want to know what their podcast is.
Oh, it's something sex related, ironically.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so, oh, let's do our thing where we recommend something we liked or that made us
oh,
smile.
Shit. You go first, because I have to think.
So, over Thanksgiving, I left my aunt's house early because I took my own car there, and I got back to my house. I was locked out because we changed our locks a few months back, but I've been away at school, so I didn't have a new key. Mm. And usually, I just climb in through the window, but we had...
I remember this.
But so, someone had locked the window, so I couldn't get in. So I gave up and went to the movies instead. And I went on a whim to go see Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. I did not have very high expectations for that movie because I'm like, oh my god, stop beating the Harry Potter horse. It's dead. But I actually ended up really enjoying
that
it.
That Harry Potter horse is alive and well.
That horse is more machine than horse at this point. Hooked up on ventilators, all nasty. But I love Eddie Redmayne. I thought it was very cute because you just have to take it pretty light.
Take it at face value.
I thought having Johnny Depp playing Dumbledore's ex-boyfriend was a weird choice. You did not expect that sentence to come out of my mouth, did you?
It's probably the weirdest thing we've said this whole podcast.
Yeah, but other than that, I thought it was really good. I thought it was very cute and aesthetically pleasing.
Her cat
is really cute right now, too. So, yeah, check it out if you want to kill an afternoon. I liked it. What's yours?
This is kind of random, but I would really recommend if you want to listen to some weird, kind of unexpected music. Porpora's Magnificat. I'm singing it right now, and I've been working on it for a few months, and it's just like this 10-minute work for a women's choir, and I just think it's really great and inspirational, and I really enjoy singing it, and I've been listening to it today.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's my recommendation.
Two very different things, but you
know
what?
Extremely different
things. We might have a diverse audience. We just don't know.
Yeah.
All right.
And then Nanette says, what does she recommend?
She recommends sleeping.
She recommends sleeping 25/8.
I'm with her on that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm Hallie George.
And I'm Stassi Serrata.
This has been Cults of Our Lives. Be excellent to each other.